So we're going to talk about some things that might be a little bit challenging for us today, but things that I think are going to be beneficial for us, and things hopefully that are more than milk, but solid food. And so that's what we're going to be wrestling with over the next few weeks, spiritual maturity. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 14. Jesus' disciples had came to him in the passage and had asked him how they should pray. Seems like this is a good question to ask the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're like, man, I want to pray more, but I'm not entirely sure what to pray for or how to do it. And so the disciples come to him and they're like, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And so this is how Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 14. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Can you guys say daily? Daily. Yeah, I think that's an important word for us to look at. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he goes on in verse 14 to say, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. God, we come before you today, and we just thank you for this opportunity to be here in your presence, God. I pray today that you'll open up our hearts and open up our ears and open up our minds to what you have for us, God. Maybe there are some people here today that have been struggling with just maturity. Maybe there are people here this morning that have been dealing with unforgiveness in their heart. And God, I pray today that you will minister to them and speak to them. I pray that you minister to us and speak to us. God, I pray that you'll have your word come alive for us this morning. These words that were spoken so many years ago, God, we know are still true today. Your word is like fire. Your word is like a mighty hammer. Your word is true. Your word is living and active, God. So we're just asking right now that your word does its work in our hearts and in our spirits, in your holy name. Amen. So today, I wanted to talk to you for a minute about the concept of forgiveness. How many of you guys like to forgive people? Raise your hand. How many of you guys like to hold a grudge? Raise your hand. Oh, we got a couple people out there. Praise the Lord. Got some sinners with me. Praise the Lord. Man, forgiveness. Lord, forgive them. Forgiveness, biblically, is the release or dismissal of something. It's when we think about forgiveness, it's the forgiveness that we have in Christ, and it's, man, I'm so thankful that Christ forgave me, aren't you? Aren't you thankful that he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west? Man, I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. And when I think about my life, and I think about all the mishaps and the mistakes and all the bad things that I've done, oh, man, I'm so thankful that his mercies are new every morning and his grace is new every morning. You know, sometimes I feel like I've arrived, I've gotten there, I'm like, finally, I'm righteous and holy and perfect, praise the Lord. And then I do something bad and I get another speeding ticket or I go through a stop sign and get it. I've gotten like 3 tickets in the last 3 months. I don't know what's going on. I'm a very cautious driver. I feel like I'm doing well, and then inevitably, yeah, the things that I think I should be doing are the things that I'm not doing, and I kind of echo the Apostle Paul, who's like, oh, what a wretched man I am. I think about the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. And I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. And I don't know if you realize this morning, but there is a need for forgiveness. There's a huge need for forgiveness. When you read in the text, he says, and forgive us our debts. I don't know if you realize this, but we are in debt. Every single one of you. Some of you might know exactly what I'm talking about. We are in debt. Maybe some of you guys are in debt financially. Anyone have debt financially? Raise your hand. No, everyone? Debt-free? Praise the Lord. Dave Ramsey? Okay. Okay. Maybe some of you are in debt financially. But we're in debt spiritually. I don't know if you realize that. We're in debt spiritually. In In Matthew chapter 18, there is a parable of, and what happened is the disciples came up to Jesus and they're like, how many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus is like, you should forgive them 7 times 7. They're like, wow, okay. And then it says that he said, the kingdom of heaven is like, in Matthew chapter 18, is like an owner who came to his servants to collect his debts. And the servant, one of the servants, the first servant he came to, it said that he owed 10,000 talents of gold. Now, to put that into perspective, one talent of gold is worth about 20 years' wages. One talent of gold. So to put that into perspective, think about that for a minute. He owed the owner, the master, 10,000 talents of gold. It is incomprehensible. It is incredible debt. It is immense debt. It's like if someone could go out and charge every single credit card that they had to its complete max, there was, it's almost like the, oh, I shouldn't say it, never mind. And they could just go crazy. But 10,000 talents of gold, it is an unmeasurable, crazy amount of debt. No matter how much working you could do, no matter how much saving you could do, no matter how much payback you could do, you could never have it paid off. It would be impossible. Man, I've come across people, I work in the financial industry, I come across people every day who have debt, and some people have lots and lots of debt. I've come across students who have over $200,000 in student loan debt, which I feel like is a lot. I've come across people that have, I met someone the other day who had $80,000 in credit card debt, which I thought was a lot. But this is magnified by like thousands upon that. Think about that. A talent of gold is worth about 20 years' wages, and this person was in debt 10,000 talents. And Jesus is using this parable to illustrate to his listeners and to his disciples that we are in debt. We have sinned. We have fallen short. We have messed up. Sin has placed us in debt to a holy God, and no matter how hard we try, we can't repay it. But the good news is that God is a forgiving God. Are you guys thankful for that this morning? Like, we're in debt, but God is forgiving, which is awesome. We're in debt, but God is forgiving. We might have messed up, but God is forgiving. In Psalms chapter 86, it says, you, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. The beautiful thing is that God is forgiving, and that forgiveness isn't just something that God does, but it's really who he is. And so we can come to him in all of our debt and all of our mess-ups and all of our mix-ups and all of our mishaps and all of our speeding tickets and all of our yelling and cussing or whatever it might be. We can come to him and he can, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise of Scripture. It wasn't something that was just written, you know, a couple thousand years ago, but it's a promise of Scripture. It's something that's true for us today. So all we have to do is come to him in forgiveness, in repentance, and he can forgive us. So we are in debt, but God is a forgiving God. But what I kind of struggle with in Matthew chapter 6 is it says, in verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Let me read that again. And forgive us our debts, because we're in debt, as, can you guys say as? You're hesitant. Say it one more time. As. I don't like that. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That little word there is so dangerous. That word as is so dangerous. We're asking God to forgive us. And this is a prayer that he's giving to his disciples. This is the model for prayer. This isn't like, oh, hey guys, God is good, God is great, thank you, Lord, for this plate. Like, this is the model. Forgive us as we also have forgiven our debtors. We're asking God to forgive us in the same way that we forgive other people. That's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? Because I love forgiveness for myself, but I don't really love forgiveness for other people. I love mercy for myself, but I don't really love mercy for other people. If I've done wrong, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. But if someone else has done wrong to me, Lord, may the fire from heaven fall upon them. May your wrath be true. May your judgment be quick. May your sword be swift. Almost like the prayer of David, where he's like, and bash their teeth in and drive them into the rocks. It's like, but he says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That's a really sobering thought. And I wonder to myself, is that something that I am able to pray? Forgive me my debts the same way that I forgive other people. And I wonder to myself, why do we forgive? What's the point? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We forgive because we've been forgiven. That's hard to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow, but we forgive because we've been forgiven. It's maybe not forgetting the pain. It's not removing the justice from the equation, but it's releasing our tight hold on the offense. It's handing the matter over to God. It's choosing freedom over bitterness. When we forgive, we break the chain that wants to bind us to the past. There's this interesting pattern with unforgiveness, I think, that we can see in the Bible. I feel like when unforgiveness is present, it turns into anger and bitterness. Do you agree with me? And I think sometimes what we do is when someone has offended us or there's unforgiveness, what we do, I think what the enemy loves to do is he loves to steal, kill, destroy, and I'm going to add one other thing. I think he also loves to isolate. All right? Steal, kill, destroy, and isolate. And once he isolates us, once we bury it, we think, oh, I buried it. Now that I buried it, I'm not going to have to worry about it, and I'm just going to forget about it. We have become professionals at ghosting. You guys with me? I think that's a fairly new, cool term, right, Nate? Ghosting. We've become great at ghosting, where it's like, he's like, no, that's not. That's like totally 10 years ago. Ghosting, where instead of addressing the issue, what happens is we bury it, we hide it, and we think that nothing's going to happen. We think that if we bury it long enough, we hide it long enough, we're not going to get angry, we're not going to be bitter. Right? Are you guys with me this morning? But it's interesting because when there is unforgiveness, it takes root, bitterness and anger. And also what I see in Scripture is that someone shows up when those things happen. Okay? Genesis chapter 2. Take a look at this. It says this in Genesis chapter 2. It says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of his soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions, some of the first fruit, some of the firstborn. Can you guys say firstborn? Firstborn, some of the firstborn of his flocks. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. I think theologians have wrestled with this a little bit, but we see two brothers. We see Cain and we see Abel. We see that Abel did a couple things right. Abel brought about his first and his best, And also, Abel was obedient. Do you see that in the scripture? He brought his first fruit. He brought his first fruits, and he was obedient, and he wasn't delayed in his obedience. Like he brought the sacrifice. He brought the firstborn of his flock. Cain, in contrast, we see that it says in the text that he, in the course of time, Cain. So I feel like it was delayed obedience. Like he was listening, but he was like delayed. You know what I'm talking about? Like he's like, I'm going to bring it, but I'm going to kind of bring it begrudgingly. And also it doesn't say anything about his first fruits. So Cain delayed and didn't bring his first fruits. Cain began to become upset because God showed favor on Abel's offerings. What did Abel do wrong? Nothing. He was obeying the Lord. You know, sometimes when we follow Jesus and we follow him to the extent of his commandments, it can make other people upset, right? But when we bring God our first fruits, and when we are obedient to God, we're under the blessing of his promises. And so Cain gets upset. He's like, I can't believe this, that this is happening. I can't believe that God is blessing Abel and that he's not blessing me. I'm angry at him. I'm upset with him. And then take a look. He began to hold resentment toward Abel. And then take a look in verse number, I think it's 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I don't know if you realize this, but when we let when we just bury unforgiveness in our heart, when we let it turn into anger and resentment and hurt feelings and whatever it might be, man, we are giving the enemy a foothold in our life. And we are seeing that roots are, we think we're just hiding it, but what's happening is that unforgiveness is building roots in our heart, and it's beginning to change us from the outside, from the inside out. Are there places, perhaps, where we have limited ourselves because of unforgiveness? The interesting thing is that forgiveness in the kingdom of God isn't an optional thing. It's essential for us. Forgiveness is God's provision for us to heal. Forgiveness is a gift from God. Again, I feel like what I see is often the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, and isolate. When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, what did they do? They hid from the presence of God. I think God has made us to find healing in a couple different ways. God has created us to find healing in him, right? Up and down. But also God has created us to find healing in each other, side to side. Confess your sins to one another so that you can find healing, right? In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is both powerful and effective. If you've wronged someone, don't isolate, but ask for forgiveness. If someone has wronged you, don't isolate. Pray for them. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. To me, when you read that in context, it's talking about daily praying for people that have hurt us. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and right as your feet hit the door, just saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm going to offend people today. I know that I'm going to hurt people today. And I just pray for me. I pray for a sensitive heart. I pray that you'll allow me to see people as people and not as offenses. And also, God, I pray for the offenses that I'm going to get, the people that are going to hurt me, Father. Just give me compassion. Give me an understanding. This morning, God, I pray that you will forgive my debts as I forgive those who have debted me. Today, God, I choose forgiveness. I'm not sure what's ahead of me today, but I choose to live my day in forgiveness because you first forgave me. I was listening to a pastor speak, and I don't know if you guys have heard of Lisa Turkhurst before, and she was talking about forgiveness, and she said there's two parts of forgiveness. She said there's the fact of forgiveness, and then there's the impact of forgiveness. And she's like, sometimes it's easy to forgive. It seems like it's easy to forgive someone for the fact of what they did, you know. But then there's the impact of forgiveness too. You know, I shared this once before, but many years ago, I was serving at a church, and I was the youth pastor, and things were going really well, and a new guy came in, and I felt very abusive to me and my wife, and he was just, could never do anything good enough. It was crazy, and we decided after a while that it was time for us to depart. This was many, many years ago, and we left. And I feel like when we left, I forgave him. I felt like I forgave him. So I think I forgave him for the fact of what happened. But many years later, I felt like I needed to write him a letter and just tell him that I was thinking about him. And I realized that although I forgave him for the fact, I hadn't quite recovered yet by the impact of the forgiveness, you know? And so as I was trying to construct this letter, I was sweating, and I was asking Erin, I'm like, is this normal? This happened so many years ago. And she's like, I don't know. But I realized that what had happened was, man, some of that bitterness had taken root, and it had lodged deep inside of me. And although I had told him that I had forgiven him for what he had done, the impact of the unforgiveness was still churning in my heart. And I realized, man, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'm talking to someone here this morning where there's someone who's hurt you. And I want to encourage you, the very first step that you can do is begin to pray for them. Because as I began to pray for him, first my prayers were, man, I hope the Lord strikes him with lightning, and I hope he bashes his teeth in, and I hope he does all these things. And the more I prayed, the more the Lord softened my heart, and the more I realized that, wait a minute, I need some forgiveness too. I hadn't realized that the bitter root of bitterness had gotten into my heart, and things had been, and my heart had been hardened, and my heart had been exposed, and my heart had been turned and churned, and as I began to pray for him, God not only began to just change my perspective, but God began to change my heart too. And my prayer changed from, I hope that you punch him and bash him, and to, Lord, bless him. Lord, I pray over his ministry. God, I pray that he'll be effective. God, I pray that he'll lead well. God, I pray that he'll have a new passion and desire for you. I sent the message. And I sent this over social media. I typed up this whole message, sent it to him. It was crazy because he responded back. He's like, it's all good. After I messaged him this long detail, you know, praying for you, thinking about you, blah, 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 this is up in life, sorry the way that I left, blah, 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 he responded back, it's all good. And I realized in that moment that I had been suffering from the impact of this unforgiveness for all this time, and he had released it many, many years ago. You know, and I think sometimes when we have unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and hoping it affects the other person. You know what I'm talking about? The best time to forgive someone is at the time of impact, right? That's the very best time. But the second best time to forgive them is right now. Said, Lord Jesus, just as you've forgiven me with all my mishaps, with all my mistakes, with all my sins, with all of my speeding tickets, with all these things, God, just as you've forgiven me, man, I choose forgiveness for them. Forgiveness is a gift that God has given us that brings healing, that brings hope, that brings life. Let's not bury it. Let's not hide it. Let's not think it'll just go away. Let's not ghost it. But let's address it and see how the Lord moves and see how the Lord speaks. Today, Father, we come to you knowing that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. God, today we come to you knowing that you are the master of forgiveness. Knowing that if we come to you in repentance, again, you cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Knowing that we are in incredible debt and you have forgiven us and you have shown us mercy today, Father. And God, you know, maybe today as I've been talking, there's been people that have been coming to mind as I've been chatting. And God, I pray that you'll work on our hearts. I pray that you'll work in our minds, God. I pray that you'll give us the fortitude and peace to step out and to forgive through you. In your holy name, God, we ask this.